Welcome, and thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. Amen. Is the Lord good? Is he good to you? He is great. He is great to all of us. Before I get started, there was a young girl that after the service last Sunday, she came up and asked me about a relationship with God, and she was concerned about it and all, but we led her to the Lord. Is she here today? Are you here today? Okay, I don't see her. But we did have the opportunity. She looked like she was about 14, maybe 13, 14. But anyway, I'm just going to make sure we recognized her today if she was here. But let's give God praise for leading that one to the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. Say amen. Amen. God is so good to all of us. You know, last week we talked about a position, our divine position in God, and that actually needs to be able to be lived out. And we'll talk a little bit more about that today, but it's very important that we understand who we are and what we're here to do. In order for us to be able to know what we're here to do, we have to know the purpose and plans of God. And that's, matter of fact, that's a little bit of an introduction of what we're going to be doing in March. We're going to do a campaign church-wide that is on what on earth am I here for? And it talks about how we matter to God and how we are to worship and how we're to fellowship and how we're to evangelize and how we're to serve, and a lot of different areas, about six different areas that we talk about. But we're going to also develop small groups during that, more small groups than what we currently have. But that's coming up in March, so get ready for that. Are you excited about that? Yes. Everybody needs to know what they're here for. You know, matter of fact, I said the other week, I was on a conference call with some of the leaders, and they said, well, I ordered that book, What on Earth Am I Good For? And they laughed and said, I don't know if we can find that or not. So I said, but it's not that. It's what on earth am I here for? So, but we're going to be talking about that. But today we're going to continue with what we were talking about the other last week. And we're going to start out right here showing some things about who we were, the position that we were in, the position that we're now in, and then what we need to do about it, what we need to do in it. So let's look at this together. So I have a lot of scriptures today. So we were dead, you were dead in your sin, trespasses and sins. Yes or no? You were. Yes or no? Absolutely. We were dead. Our spirit was dead. And in which formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of discipline. He said, that's who you used to be. And we don't need to forget who we once were. Because we know where we came from. It's not who we are today, but we know where we came from. Among them, we too were all formerly lived. We all lived that way. We all lived in disobedience. We all were dead in sin. And the lust of the flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and in the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. You and I once were children of wrath. Children of which the wrath of God was coming upon. That's where we were. We were children. This is one of the great contrasts that I can see in the Bible. So we were once children of wrath, even as the rest of them. We were just like them. This is two great words, but God. Say that out loud. But God. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. But God. Everybody say that again. But God. And then he says this, by grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. So God had other things in mind for you and I. By the way, did you know that you did not have to sin to become a sinner? You didn't sin to make you a sinner. You were born that way. All right. Did you know that you can't do good to get righteousness? You didn't have anything to do with that either. He made you that way. Why? You were born again. You were born in righteousness. So here we begin to see that over here, and when I say over here, I'm not talking about this side. Over here, we were children of wrath. The wrath of God is upon us. We're children of wrath. That's what the Bible says. So here's the ground that we were standing on. But God made a way for us to have salvation in Christ Jesus. And now we're children of grace. Not children of wrath, children of grace. Amen. And matter of fact, and he said, we are what? Raised up with him, and we are what? Seated. We're seated with him. Even though we're here, we're seated with him. Do you know that's a done deal? You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, and if I start doing something wrong down here, he's going to interrupt my seatedness up there. He's going to walk up. If we do something wrong down here, after being saved, we do something wrong down here, one of the angels is going to come. He said, the Father says, you're going to have to leave. Not going to happen. Why? But he said, he's eternal. And we have not temporary life. We got a temporary body life, but we have an eternal life. So we have to capture this about we were on this ground, and now we're standing on this ground. So this is the whole thing is about understanding the position that we once were and the position in which we are today because of Jesus Christ. He said, seated with him in heavenly places in order. Why are we seated in why is that? In order that in the ages to come. Do you know when this was written? 30 years after Christ died. Almost 2,000 years ago. This was written by Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we're looking for this ages to come. We're in some of those ages today. And he says, in the ages to come, that he might show surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us. So he's done all this in order to be able to show his surpassing, in other words, nothing can compare to the riches of his mercy. Nothing. Nothing can compare to the riches of his kindness. And he said, I'm going to give you the riches of your grace, riches of my grace and kindness toward you in Christ. Man, think about that. We often run past some of these verses and we don't let them sink in and let them saturate us sometimes. And he says, by grace, you have been saved through faith. So he didn't say, okay, you were this and you're now this because I've done it all for you. He has done it all. But what must I do? I have to have faith and I have to believe. I have to repent. Leave this. I'm saying, I'm not choosing this anymore. I see this. I believe this. And by faith in his grace, we in his provision, he said,
you are saved. Then he goes on and says, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. You, is anybody here saved yourself? No. Why? Now, we saved ourselves from this and this and that, but not salvation-wise. So I know this is elementary, but I'm telling you, sometimes we skip past this and we lose our grip on the position that we once were, that it's gone, it's done away with, it is dead. I am now made alive. I've been raised with him. I'm seated with him. And the ages to come, and the ages that we live in, thank you, the ages we live in, he said, I'm going to show forth all of the surpassing riches of my grace. And I'm going to show it in kindness toward you. That's where we live. That's where we are. It's in our position. And he said, it's a gift of God. You didn't do it. We didn't do it. So I told you this the other day. So somebody told me, said, I'm a self-made man. And inside I said, you look it. I didn't tell him outside. It's inside. You look at why self-made. We can't do too good on making ourselves better. We can't do good at all. Has anybody ever tried it? I'm going to try to quit this. Did you know I used to smoke? When I was 12 years old, I started smoking. Really, I'm telling you the truth. And actually, I said, I'm going to try to quit smoking. No. Scott was born, and he was a little baby, and his butt like this, standing up on the sofa. I was sitting down here. I had him, and Brenda took a picture, and I had him on this arm and had a cigarette in this two fingers, and I was leaning toward her. And I'm telling you, Brenda didn't know it. But, I mean, it's one of them Polaroid things. And that's how long ago it was. But it's like, I looked at that, and God, in his mercy, I was already a Christian, but God, in his riches of his mercy and his grace, let me see beyond the image. I looked at that, and I said, oh, no. And from that day on, not another cigarette, not a cigar, not anything. From that day on, but God, see that? That's all God's doing. All my trying never did anything. Didn't do anything. Matter of fact, I had a half a carton. I used to buy them by the carton. They're too expensive to buy by the carton now, but anyway. But I had a half a carton, which was about 5 packs or something like that, 5 packs, on the seat of my truck. I could start back anytime I wanted to. But after that day, I went and got them cigarettes and threw them away. Somebody said, well, why didn't you give them to somebody? I said, I didn't want them to get cancer. I'm messing with you. But I didn't want to give them to anybody, so I threw them away. Remember, you remember that, don't you? Why is it at the power of God, but God showed his mercy? How many of you have some of those, have some of those moments, but God moment in your life? Wave at me. Just wave at me. But God moment in my life. But God did this. And he said, but you didn't do that. He did it. Everybody say, he did it.
He did it.
It's our gift. And he goes on and says, not as a result of any of our works, but that no man should boast. For we are his workmanship created. We're created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Not just to have salvation, but for good works. Right, that's very important we understand that, which God prepared beforehand. Before you ever got saved, he had already prepared the work that you're supposed to do. In him. In him, in you. He's not caught by surprise. So we're already there. And he says beforehand, and he says this. And the reason why? That we should walk in them. A lot of people, listen to me now, a lot of people will have a salvation experience that is genuine. But some people have a problem in leaving where they are in that salvation and start walking with him. You don't ever leave it, really, but you start walking in him. He said, I created works before you was ever born again. I created them before you was born again. I created the works that you're to do, and you are to walk in them. So a lot of people have a salvation that in their mind they sit, but in their soul and in their mind, will, and emotions, they don't do anything. They got a ticket to go to heaven, and that's all I got. That's all I need, that's all I want. Now, you may be born again. I'm not going to say you're not born again. But the thing is, we have Christians that are still babies after 20 years. Why? Because they haven't moved forward in what he's given us in the works, because he created them beforehand, that we should walk in them. We're supposed to walk in them. He goes on and says, now this is over in Romans chapter 4, says Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses. He's delivered up and died. And watch this, and raised for our salvation. What raised him? The Holy Spirit raised him, but that's who raised him. But my Bible says, because of justification, of our justification, he was raised. He was raised for us to be able to have just as if I never sinned. Does that matter to you? It matters to me that he said he was delivered from my trespasses. He died, and he rose, but he was raised for our justification. Then he goes on and says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have what? Peace. Say it out loud. Peace with God. There's no more warring with God. God said, no, I'm at peace with you. You have peace with me. All provided by God in that position. We may not act like it. How many of you are saved? Raise your hand at me if you're born again. All right, Lord, how many in your life, since you've been born again, you have acted like you weren't born again? Raise your hand. You see, same hands. Same hand. Why is that? Because we haven't fully been transformed that we can prove the will of God in our lives. Transformation happens when you renew your mind and you begin to think and dwell and ponder on the things that God is saying and God's ways. That's what he says in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That word transformation, there's a lot of things about it, but the core of it means to have an outward expression change. An outward expression, when we have transformation, an outward expression is taking place. An outward living is taking place. See, we have eternal life inside us, but sometimes we don't live like it. We have Christ inside us, but that sometimes, that by the show of hands, we don't live like it. The reason being is there's not been a complete transformation in the area that we are walking in. And we're not going to be transformed unless we renew. It's a continuing renewal of the mind. Changing our mind and not thinking our way, but thinking his way. I've got to go on. But thank God, since being justified by faith, we have what? We have peace with God. Tell me, do you have peace with God?
Yes, sir.
Been justified by faith, you have peace with God. He goes on and says this, through him we have also obtained, watch this, we obtained access. Okay, I got peace with God, and because of that, I have at my fingertips, I've obtained access by faith into his grace. I can access his grace. Oh, it's so powerful. In which we stand. I'm gonna look at my notes here because I can't quite remember what that is. That word stand means to be in complete agreement with. In complete agreement with. I have access into the grace that he's given. I can let that grace just do what it's supposed to do inside me and get me to do and empower me to do what he wants me to go do. I have access to that by faith. Right. He said, I know I want you to go talk. I want you to do this. I want you to ask for forgiveness. I want you to go make this right. You have access to the grace that he's given you to be able to go do that if you stand there. If you're in that standing, if you have complete agreement to it. That's what that word stand. It's not just, okay, I'm going to take a stand here. No, I'm in complete agreement upon it. I will abide. In other words, I will abide. That's where I'll live. That's where I'll live. He goes on and says this, and we rejoice, in hope of the glory of God. Everybody say, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice. Oh, my goodness gracious. Can you rejoice in the hope of his glory? Can you rejoice? Do you know that word rejoice means to boast? Tell somebody about it. Boast about God concerning the hope that's inside you and his glory. Boast about him. You understand what I'm saying? Boast about God. You can't boast about your works. That's what he's already said. You can't boast about becoming anything concerning you. But you can boast about God making you everything that you need to be. He said you can rejoice and you can boast about it in the glory of God. I wish that was all of it, but that's not all of it. Are you ready for the rest of it? Watch this. Next verse. Not only that. I read that and I said, wait a minute. I'm not done boasting about everything God. I'm not done. He said, but not only that. So you got to add this too. What does he say? But we rejoice in our what? Uh-oh. Wait a minute. I was over here boasting about the goodness of God and hope I have in him. And I'm letting people know, I mean, he'll take you to heaven if you just give him your life. But I'm boasting about that. Then he says, not only that, this is the part of the living that he says, I want you to learn how to do. This is a transformation that he says, I want you to be able to transform into. That we can also boast in our sufferings. Now, he qualifies that. He says, knowing. How can you boast because you're going through hard times? No. Everybody say, knowing. That word does not mean becoming one with. That's not the same word as Adam knew Eve. You shall know the truth. It's not the same word. This word in knowing is about your personal experience. You've experienced that in your suffering, God will do what? Your suffering will what? Produce. Do you need endurance, character, and hope? This is how you get it. Look, he said, suffering produces endurance. How long can you go? You can endure to the end. But I'm going through that. I can boast about what? Yeah, I'm going through it, but I'm not going to boast because I'm going through it. I'm going through it because he is causing me to endure. He's producing endurance in me. I'm not going to be a quitter. I'm not going to get tired and just stop. I'm not going to try to find another way out. No, I said, we can boast about the things I'm going through. He's going to bring endurance to our life. He goes on and said, endurance. And once I get that endurance, he said, come on, I'm going to produce character. You ever heard that? Said, his talent is so big that his character can't sustain it. Or I'm gifted by God, and I know there's an anointing there. Not just me, but I'm not saying it about me, but I would say it about ourselves. I'm gifted by God. But you know, we can say it again. But our character, if we haven't gone through the things that produce character, our character won't be able to sustain it. That's when you can shout and praise and give glory. You can do all this at one time, and then you go to the restaurant, and the waitress will be just a little bit late on bringing that tea. She's already walked by me 3 times and has not stopped. I've even rattled the ice. You know, you hear what I'm saying? So why? Because he said, and you know, I remember a guy that he prophesied, and anyway, he came and he prophet of God, it really was. We went out to eat, and he was just rude. And I told the pastor that was with us, it was under Pastor Roger, and told him, I said, if you don't mind, I'm going to go on back to the church. You can take him to the hotel. He said, you can't go. I said, why is that? He said, you rode with me. I looked at him and I said, I'm going to walk. Was it Shoney's then? That's been that long ago. But see, the gifting was there, but his character could not sustain it because his character was not tested. His character was not going through the things. He has not learned that what he's went through is producing this for him. So he was very ugly, very rude to the waitress and everything. And the whole thing is we get that way. Not me. I'm not doing that. No, sir. You did me wrong. Yeah, that's just, you know, so many things that can stand in our way. And God says, I want you to be transformed so that your character will be able to produce hope. So I don't have enough hope. I don't have any hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. How do you get hope here? Your character produces it. Your tested character, going through that difficult time and doing it the way God said to do it. Okay. If I'm getting too personal, get over it. So anyway, all right. Then he goes on and he says, and hope does not put us to shame. This hope doesn't put you to shame. And he goes on and said, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See, the hope does not disappoint. One translation, it doesn't disappoint you. It won't disappoint you. It'll be everything that you hope for. But going back to this thing, it's for... Not only all the things that he's done for me. Can't boast about it. Of all, boast about God doing things in your life. Amen. Not only that. Oh, I looked at those words and I said, ooh, I missed the boat on that a few times. Not only that. But also boast about the things that I'm going through is producing more godliness in my life. Producing more character, more endurance, and more hope in my life. Well, I really hate that you're going through that. Well, I said, I don't like what I'm going through, but let me tell you what I'm going through. God, let me tell you what God is doing in the midst of what I'm going through. Let me share with you. This thing seems bad, and it is bad. It feels bad. It feels rough. It feels... All of this thing, I'm not going to boast on my sufferings. I'm going to boast on what the sufferings is doing in my life. Amen. Boast about it. You're going to run across somebody that's going to share their sufferings with you. Do you know that? You're going to run across somebody that's going to have a real hard time and struggling. Big struggle. Here's your time to boast. Here's your time to boast. Not about, I went through them too. And we can sing, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Oh, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. No, that ain't who we are. That we can share with this person and be like to this person and say, I went through some of the same stuff. As a matter of fact, I went through some rougher stuff than that. And let me tell you what God's doing in the middle of all of it. Oh, then you boast about the King of Kings, the Lord of it all. See, that's transformation. We're not going to do that unless we're transformed. We're not going to do that unless we have a change, unless we're, if we're focused on all the bad and not on what he's doing to you and I in the bad. We won't be able to prove the perfect will of God. That's what he said, the transformation. That once you have transformation in your life, you'll be able to prove the will of God. A lot of us are not proving the will of God because we haven't been transformed. We're still in the nursery. The eternal life nursery. We're in the eternal life nursery. We haven't grown past that. We're going to stay right there because the rest of it is, he said, this gift is free. Right? It is. It's free. Transformation is work. Transformation is one of those. I'm going to change my mind. I read something the other day. Said, it's easy to fool a man, but it's difficult to prove to the man he's been fooled. Did you get that? It's like, okay, you know, you can fool people all day long, but people that's been fooled, it's going to be, you're going to have a hard time convincing them that they've been fooled. But you got to give them the truth. You got to be able to tell them. You got to be able to give them the truth in it. So let's go on. It produces hope. And it says, and hope does not put us to shame because God loved them. We've already read that, so let's go on. And the next one's blank. And I put it there. Because I'm going to put something else in there. We're going to talk about this. We go to Romans, Hebrews chapter 3. It says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. He's talking about the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. And then he says, this is for us. He said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Well, how do I do that? Okay. Let's find out. As when they provoked me. See, do you and I keep coming to God with the same old thing that says, God, I want you to do this when he's already told you and I what we need to do. And so, see what that does? It provokes him, and he said, as in the day of trial, as in the day of trial, as in the day of their trial. And where was the trial? In the wilderness. You and I are going to go through wilderness that will have a day of trial. We'll have a difficult time to go through. Has anybody in here ever been through the wilderness? It was dry, lonely, felt like it was all by itself, didn't know where the end was going to come. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. He said, that's a day of trial in the wilderness. And this is what happens. When your fathers tried me by testing me, they kept, no, God, we want it done this way. Don't do it that way. We want cucumbers. We know there's slavery back here, but we really did like that food. We want cucumbers. They kept trying me. He said, your fathers tried me. He said, provoked me and tried me. And this is what's interesting to me. He said, and saw my works. Notice he did not say, and saw my judgments. That's huge to me. They saw the good things that I could do. Not my judgment. They saw all the good things that he did. Shoes that never wore out. Food from heaven. Water from rock. Do you hear what I'm saying? Just over and they saw his goodness. And you know, they murmured. People said, well, they murmured. Their problem was murmuring and complaining, which we all have some. No, it wasn't their problem. That was a result of their problem. Murmur and complain. He said, they kept testing me because they saw my works for 40 years. How long have you seen the works of God in your life? How long have you seen the works of God in other people's life? How many of you know somebody that was miraculous healing and you know them? Right? Miraculously, they were healed. Hands all over the place. What? We see, and God provides. All of a sudden, this has happened. And God turns it around just like that. See the works of God. He said, you see it for 40 years. Then he goes on and says, therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. There's your key. They always go astray. He said, I was angry for this generation. He got provoked and was angry for this generation, with this generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart. It's a hard issue. And they did not know my ways. They saw my works. They went astray in their heart. They kept going back, go back, go back. I want another plan. I do not want what God wants me to do. I want it done this way because it seems easier for me. He said, they've saw my works for 40 years. I was angry with them. They always go astray in their heart. And they did not know my ways. A lot of people that are in the nursery of salvation, they're there for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. They don't know the ways of God. Do you hear me? There's no transformation in their life. See, he said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. This rest is it's a calm, it's a calming of all the winds. It's his abode, and it's complete. God did not rest on the seventh day because he was tired. The Bible said he does not get tired. He does not grow weary. Why did he sit? Why did he rest? He's done. He was done. He was done. You know, God is like he's done creating. He made everything to reproduce itself. That's how he created it, for it to reproduce itself. The earth to reproduce, seed to reproduce itself, animals. See, he didn't create another, you know, how many of you love steak? Okay. See, of all the steak we've hit, maybe we've eaten 1,000 cows. Who knows? Who knows? He didn't create another 1,000 cows. He was done. Why? He said, they're going to produce after their kind, after their kind, after their kind. He didn't produce more trees. He didn't create more trees. A seed would fall and another one would come up because of his creation. I know I'm sort of messing with you a little bit, but it's such true. It's true. Let's see if we can go on. I got to close. I really do. But encourage one another day after day. How long? Turn to your neighbor and encourage them. Just do it right now. Encourage them. Now, I see some of you not doing it. Encourage them. As long as it's still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness. See, encouragement, our encouragement for other people, to other people, will help them not to harden their heart in the deceitfulness of sin. They need that encouraging word. That's the work of God. God said, we need to do that every day. Day after day. Day after day. Day after day. He goes on and he said, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance and firm until the end. Then he goes on and says this. And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, but those who were disobedient? That word also is believed not. There's three words in here in this passage that talks about being disobedient, having unbelief. And there's three different words for unbelief. I don't know if I'll have time to get into that because I got some other things I want to talk to you about. But this word means to have deliberate refusal. Not to believe. I deliberately refused. That's what that word means. I deliberately refused. It goes on. He goes on and said, and so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. There's your second word. Why didn't they enter? Because of unbelief. What does that word mean? That word, unbelief, is the thing, I want to, but I don't have the faith to. It's to be faithless. I don't have the faith. I don't have active faith to be able to do it. They did not have active faith to be able to. In other words, they did not trust. The other one was a deliberate refusal. This one is, I just don't trust. I'd like to, but I don't trust. I don't trust him. I don't trust him to take care. That's the reason we do things, to try to let our works produce them. And he says, no. He said, when you come into the faith, when you come into, by the way, he didn't call it rest. He called it his rest. When you come into his rest, he's done it. He said, if you come into his rest, just like he sat down from his works because his works were complete. He said, if you enter my rest, your works are complete. In other words, there ain't nothing you can do that's gonna make him do anything. He's already done it. He's already done it. So what was going on with the Israelites? They got delivered from Egypt, went into the wilderness, stayed in there 40 years because of unbelief. And that generation were delivered, but they were unable to enter rest because of unbelief. They were unable to walk into the fullness of their promised land. Their promised land was all this stuff, this grapes and all this vineyards. He said they weren't able to enter in, even though they were delivered from slavery. We use that as a type of being delivered from sin. They'd be delivered from sin, but here they are, not being transformed, and they still have it against God. We don't even like what we're going through. We've been better off of staying. Really, that's where they were. You may not be saying those words, but your actions will repeat it. Mine and your actions can repeat it. So they had the deliverance, but they were unable to enter his rest, unable to go into the things that he promised. You know, God has promised you and I things that we have not yet experienced. You know what he wants us to do? Believe him. Rest in him. His rest. That's him. And it goes on and it says this, and therefore let us fear less. He said, you just don't fear. He said, let us fear less, for while a promise remains of entering his rest, as any of you should seem to have come short of it. He said, you should have a fear of coming short of it. That's what he's saying. So we should not come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us just as they, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith. It was not mixed with faith to those who heard it. For we, listen to this, for we who have believed enter that rest. So here's the issue today. You're hearing the word. You're hearing whatever God's saying. Whatever God's saying by the Spirit of God, whatever God's saying, you're hearing it. But the problem is, are you mixing it with faith? It's almost like wives. Well, before I get to that one, let me say this one. I'm going to have to weigh that one out, making sure. She's sitting right here. She can hear me. So anyway, no, I'm teasing. But see, here's the issue. That didn't mix it with faith. It's almost like we have people here that are not here, but they're here. Some of you are thinking about eating. Some of you are thinking about what you got to do when you get home. Some of you are thinking about what you got to do tomorrow. Some of you, I'm not saying who, I'm not picking out anybody. We all have that same difficulty. We can be here and not mixing our faith with what we hear because we're not here. We're somewhere else. Now I'll get to the wife. How many of your husbands are in the house, but they're not there? Yeah, well, Brenda, I wasn't asking you to respond. She said sometimes. It's probably more than sometimes. I used to be a big football person. I don't even watch them anymore. But she'd come in and I'd be going, ooh. And she's already told me three or four things. And I said, she said, did you hear me? And I said, was you talking? But see, it's not mixed with the attention of faith. So when you come here, what should you be attentive to? What God's saying. What is God telling you? What's the Spirit of God speaking to you about? Those are the things that we need to, that's how we mix it with faith. Need to close. For we have believed, enter his rest. The ground that we once were on was cursed. We were cursed. We were children of wrath. We're now children of grace, born again. And then he tells us we have things to do that he ordained for us to do, and we need to get busy doing them and not staying in the crib. Need to get up, get out, begin to do the things that he said for us to go do. And when difficult times, we also exalt him, because knowing that the difficult things that I'm going through today is going to produce inside me endurance, character, and hope. Because that's what my God does when I go through things. That's what your God does for you when you and I go through things. Then when we have these things, these difficult moments, the things are here and we can see them, but God has said, and it's different. I can see this. We said that last week. That's temporary. This over here is eternal. He said, I know you're seeing this, but what I want you to do is I want you to enter my complete work. That's how we can rest. How can I enter God's rest? Enter his complete work for mine and your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Did you get anything out of that day?
Yes.
God bless you. God bless you. Now, if there's anybody else, I didn't do it last week. Is anybody else? If somebody here that says, look, I'm not sure I'm born again. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want to be sure. Is it anybody? Anybody here? I want to surrender my life to God. Anybody? I want to surrender my life to God. We thank God for the one last week. But, okay, brother.
Amen. Come on, give God a cheer this morning. Amen. It's a good word. Two Sundays in a row. Knocked it out of the park. Amen. To God be the glory, I know. Amen. Just have a few announcements. Did I see Brother Austin? Is he here? He's in the back. Oh, okay. All right. Yes, if you would. He has an announcement to make. I was going to let him make that one. But while she's getting him, we have several things that's going to be taking place in February. So they'll be scrolling the announcements, so make sure you look at those. I'm just going to lightly hit them. We have a Valentine's banquet coming up in February the 14th. So all you married folks, sign up over at the Information Center for that. And let's see. We also have a refreshing class for the mothers. And just look at the scrolls, and we'll do that. And what's Brother Austin? Oh, here he comes. Amen. All righty. Okay. And while he's coming, all of our first-time visitors, if you would just meet Pastor Terry back at the guest tables, we have a gift for you coming and being part of the service today, all our first-time visitors, okay? And we do have the year-end contributions. Rita is at the Information Center now, so if you need to pick those up, we'd appreciate it, okay? All right.
Sorry about that. How y'all doing today? Yeah. Sorry, I was in nursery. I'm trying to switch gears here. So I hope we have a graphic up. I'm not sure. We are going to do Winter Jam again, and it is February 20th in Greenville. That is a Friday evening. What we did last year, we're going to open it up to the church. If you would like to go, I will have a sign-up sheet back at the Communication Center, or you can just come tell me. But that deadline is February 1st. Once February 1st comes, that Sunday, that's the last Sunday, I will order the tickets. If you tell me later, I'll do my best to help you out. It may be a little bit more than the $40 if you order later. But it is $40 a person. That gives us the early access. There's about 10 artists. So you basically get 10 concerts in one. But it's a great time. I know we had a lot from the church that came last year. Really enjoyed it. And if you want to know the lineup, you can just type in Winter Jam 2026. It'll tell you who's there. But again, that's $40. And if you reserve by the first, the youth, teenagers, we will go down together as a group. Anyone else is, they're welcome to come and follow us down as well. But I just provide transportation for the teenagers. That would be quite the effort to get everyone there. But thank you.
Amen. All right. Let's stand. We're ready to be dismissed. Father, we thank you so much for the word today. We pray, God, that we will receive it by faith, Father, and begin to rest in you, Father, and rejoice in our suffering, Lord. And God, we thank you, Lord God, for our pastor, Lord, and thank you for the word that's been sown this morning in our hearts. Father, we pray, God, it would bring the fruit that you designed it to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hold on, we got one other thing here. Hold on. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. We're going to pray for Miss Vicky, Miss Charlotte, I think Carrie Rose, a few more that has the flu. So let's just pause and pray for them. Father, we thank you so much for the provision of healing through the stripes of your son. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you will begin to heal their bodies from this flu, Father. We pray for total restoration. And God, we thank you even for Charlie being healed also, Father. And God, we pray in Jesus' name, you get all the glory, and we thank you for it. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.